Tuesday, February 4th. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul compares the condition of Christians to those who run a race, who fight or strive for a prize in the Olympic Games, who strip themselves and make themselves as light as possible, the better to run and fight. The Christian's life is both a race and a combat. In baptism we enter the lists. Therefore we must fight in running to Jesus Christ, for he is the term, the goal, and the prize. To run well we must be as light and disengaged as possible, and the same if we hope to combat with success. We should look up to the battles fought by our captain, Jesus Christ, and contemplate the glory he now enjoys on that account. For this he means to share with us if we imitate his virtues. Let us then rejoice to suffer with our captain here, and we shall be glorified with him hereafter. Regarding the words, "For the sake of the joy that lay before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame," the sense seems to be, "Who by reason of the joy he had to perform the will of his eternal Father, for which he knew he should be exalted above all creatures, underwent willingly the ignominy and death of the cross. You have not yet resisted unto blood." That is, though you have met with some persecutions, you have not yet shed your blood for his sake who laid down his life and shed every drop of his blood for you. The Gospel from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had greatly suffered at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. Haydock Commentary. Almighty God is pleased to give occasionally to the relics and clothes of his pious and faithful servants a degree of virtue. See Acts 5 and Acts 19, where the very shadow of Peter and the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched the body of St. Paul and were brought to the sick cured their diseases and banished the wicked spirits. St. Basil says, "He that touches the bone of a martyr receives in some degree holiness of the grace or virtue that is therein." Virtue to heal this woman's malady proceeded from Christ, though she had touched but his coat. So when the saints by their relics and garments perform miracles, the grace and force thereof comes from our Savior, they being but the means or instruments of the same. When Christ says, "Only have faith," heretics grossly abuse this and other similar texts of Scripture to prove that faith alone will suffice for justification, Whereas God only declares that he requires a faith in his almighty power for the performance of miracles, and that without this necessary predisposition, he will not do any miracles. See verse 5 of the next chapter of this gospel. Only 3 resurrections from the dead are mentioned as performed by our Savior. 1 just dead, 1 carried out to be buried, and Lazarus already in his tomb. These represent the different states of sinners dead in sin, some more desperate than others. To such as have been for years in sin and have none to intercede for them, we must apply the words of Christ, "Let the dead bury the dead."